Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'd like to welcome you to another one of our midweek videos and to our YouTube channel here. If you haven't already done so, if you consider subscribing to our channel and clicking the alarm bell, ringing that bell so that we can you can stay current with our church and our ministry here and the content that we are producing both midweek and at church on Sunday morning. So I want to do a video this week kind of updating everybody on some things that I covered in a previous video back in March. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about our featured book this week. Our featured book this week is The Day of the Lord Project. This is a co-authored book by myself and Brother Dave Reed from Columbus, Ohio. And this book covers issues related to the timing, the definition, the timing of the day of the Lord and the day of Christ. So if you haven't already done so, I'd ask you to consider picking that up. You can buy this from Dispensational Publishing House for the whopping price of $6. So if you haven't already done that, I'd like to encourage you to do that. Also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here. We're up to 82 subscribers now on Rumble, which is encouraging. We've established this as an alt tech site should something happen to our YouTube channel. So what I want to talk to you about, back in March, on March 4th, I did a video here titled The Question of Pauline Ordinances, and it was looking at some things that had been part of a current controversy related to the judgment seat of Christ and some things that had been said. And I've stayed totally away from this topic, the controversy, et cetera, of the narrative that's being advanced for a number of months now, and I'm not intending to get back into that. But I raised the question in this video about, is it true that there's nothing for the body of Christ to do, that there are no ordinances, that there are no commands, there are no traditions that the body of Christ is given to keep? And so if you forgot what's in this video or you haven't checked it out, I would encourage you to do that. Those of you who are following the ministry, you know that we've been preaching through the book of Colossians in our main Sunday morning study time at church, and we're working our way very slowly and systematically through Colossians chapter 3. And one of the things that I've been noting as we go through here and been careful to note is the issue of Paul's imperative statements, okay? So an imperative statement is a statement of command. It's something that believers are being commanded to do. They're not like, you know, just open-ended suggestions or recommendations or things that you should take seriously, you know, when it's time, when, it, you know, you decide it's time to get around to it or something of that nature. No, an imperative command is something that our apostle, the apostle Paul, is instructing us as members of the church, the body of Christ, that we are to do, that we are to function in, that we are to operate in. And Colossians chapter 3 is full of these imperative commands. And so I just want to kind of just do a video summarizing where we've been so far in our series in the book of Colossians and looking at these commands, okay? So I'm going to go over here to my notes from last Sunday where I have made this list. So right now, last Sunday, we were studying verse 15, okay? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts to the which And let the peace of God rule in your hearts to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So as we've worked our way through the passage, I've been noting every time an imperative command appears in the text, okay? And so here's what we have so far. If we think about Colossians chapter 3, we have verse 1, seek those things which are above. We have verse 2, set your affection on things above. Both of these are imperative commands. Now I'm going to show you this for two of them and then move on with the rest of the list, but the same phenomenon that I'm going to show you for these two would occur for all of the rest of them here that are included here. Okay, so let's go and look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll turn the tools on. And we want to be looking at the statement there that we are to seek those things which are above. So here's the verb seek. So we're going to look at this verb, and when we do, we can see that it is in the imperative mood. So Paul, this is a present active imperative. So Paul is commanding the Colossians here to seek those things which are above. Okay? Now, we could go back, and we could do the same thing for verse 2. So let's turn it on verse 2. Set your affection on things above. The verb here translated set, we could look at that, and we could see again that that is a present active imperative. It's in the imperative mood. This is a command that Paul is giving to the church, the body of Christ. Okay. So all of the rest of them that we're going to identify in the list are all meeting the same criteria. They are all in the imperative mood. These are Paul's commands. So the admonition here to set your affection on things above here in verse 2, this is not like a loose recommendation for you as a believer. No, this is our apostle telling us where our affection should be set. It should be set on things above, not on things of the earth. Okay, so these are not, you know, when you get around to it type statements. These are imperative commands that should govern our thinking, our thoughts, attitudes, and actions as members of the church, the body of Christ. Okay, now there are a bunch of them in this chapter. The chapter is full of these imperative commands. Okay, so we have the one, we've noted the one in verse 1, seek those things which are above. We've noted the one in verse 2, set your affection on things above. We've dug a little bit deeper into those two so I can show you what I'm talking about. So the phenomenon is going to occur for the rest of them. Chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. That is a imperative command. Okay. In verse 8, put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That is an imperative command. Those are thoughts, attitudes, and actions that are not to be indicative of us as members of the church, the body of Christ. These are things that we're to put off. And again, this is a command that our apostle is giving to us. Okay. Then we have verse 9, lie not one to another. And the verse ends, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, right? So we're to lie not. So it's not like, maybe you can lie to another believer when it suits your purposes, or, you know, when you can, you know, advance your own agenda or something like that. No, the instruction from our apostle is to lie not. Elsewhere he says to speak the truth, etc., right? So we have an imperative command to lie not. And starting in verse 12, there's an imperative command to put on, therefore, as the elect of God. So we have the command in verses 8 and 9 to put off certain attitudes, actions, and behaviors. And now we're going to see the command in verse 12 to put on certain attitudes, actions, and behaviors. And really, as I said, if you're following my series in Colossians, what the command here really is to put on the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh, to put on Christ and function out of the new identity, the new creature that you have been made in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's the command to put on, therefore, the elect of God. Well, what are we to put on? The bowels of mercies, the kindness, the humbleness of mind, the meekness, the long-suffering. Forbearing one another is part of that imperative in verse 13, as is the issue of forgiving one another. And then if you look here at verse 14, so let's go here and back and look at this. So here's the command to put on, therefore. We've included all these things in the list, okay? And then we have verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. So there's a command also, therefore, to put on charity. So I've included it there under the put on, therefore, as the elect of God command. Okay. So all of these are imperative commands. And then, as we saw last Sunday, we have two more in verse 15, where he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And then he ends verse 15 by saying, be ye thankful. All right. Now, if we go back and we just look at the passage, we can see there are going to be a bunch more. Starting in verse 16, there's going to be, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's going to be commands to wives, to husbands, to children, to fathers, to servants, okay? All through here, this chapter is really about the proper attitudes, actions, and behaviors as members of the church, as the body of Christ. Our relationship that we have to one another in the body of Christ, our relationships that we have to our spouses, to our children, etc. This is covering the whole gamut of Christian life and service here in this chapter, and Paul is doing it by a series of imperative commands. Okay, now, so I've demonstrated to you very clearly now, all the way down through verse 16, which is the next verse we're going to be studying on Sunday morning, that this is a chapter that is full of Paul's instructions to us as members of the body of Christ. Now, notice a couple things about this, okay, before we go too much farther. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. There's a lot of controversy about the elect of God, but look at the previous verse. where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in and all. This is a statement, folks, about what's true of us as members of the church, the body of Christ, being in the body of Christ. Okay? So this is our instructions today as members of the church, the body of Christ. Paul's not talking to a different group of people here. He's not, you know, jumping in and out and moving from one group to another group to another group here. It's all the same. And then we have this statement here about being called in one body. All right. So we have, this is Paul's instructions to the body of Christ. And then look at the end of this here. Okay. Let's go to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Notice, why are we to follow these imperative commands of which this chapter is chock full of? Why are we to do that? Well, we're to do that because we know that that ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. There is a thing called the judgment seat of Christ where the believer will receive reward. And the reward in this chapter, and Paul saying the reason you should do these things that I'm, you know, commanding here through this series of imperatives, is because we know, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he have done, and there is no respect of persons. So there's no way around the fact in my mind that this chapter is written to the body of Christ about believers, and the reason why we are admonished by our apostle to think, function, and operate in these attitudes, actions, and mindsets that are identified in this chapter is because of the issue of the reward of the inheritance. Okay, so you cannot say that verse 24 is about one group of people wholly different from the group of people that he's been addressing throughout the entire chapter. So I will go back here. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. If this is talking about the body of Christ, then so is this down here in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. So we, as believers, we understand that we're totally forgiven. We understand that Christ died for all of our sin, that he's forgiven all of our sin, those of us who have trusted in his finished work. And we understand that in the future there is going to be reward, and that reward is related to the judgment seat of Christ. So all of Paul's admonitions in this chapter have in view the idea of the reward of the inheritance. So I'm responsible as a husband and as a father for how I treat my wife, how I raise my children, okay? And so are you. So is everybody here who is listening to this. So we have responsibilities that as believers that we are in fact responsible for, and we need to take these admonitions and these imperative commands seriously in light of that. So there's a lot of motivation there then to live godly in Christ Jesus, to put off the old man with his, to put off the attitudes, actions, and behaviors that are indicative of the old man. And by the way, the old man is already crucified. He has already been put to death through identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Paul says in this chapter, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. It's already a done deal, folks. And so we now, as believers, have been freed to take our members and yield them as instruments of righteousness and holiness unto God, knowing that of the Lord we shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Now, before you go, I'd like to ask you, if you would, if you haven't already done so, to like this video, leave a comment in the comments, subscribe and ring the bell here for our YouTube channel so that we can continue to increase the reach and size of our ministry here. And just a couple of reminders here, Grace Life Bible Church wants to invite you to a Bible conference on October 22nd through 23. I did a video on that yesterday, and I'll put a link in the description below to that video announcing the Bible conference. And then also take advantage of the summer to get caught up on our adult Sunday school class, From This Generation Forever, A Study of God's Promise to Preserve His Word. I'm currently reading to read ahead, I should say, so that when we resume this class in September, you know, I have a good reservoir of material information to draw from as we work on that class moving forward. And also, if you haven't already done so, I'd like to remind you, if you are interested, to pick up a copy of this book right here, The Day of the Lord Project, co-authored book by myself and Brother Dave Reed from Columbus Bible Church in Ohio. If you haven't already done so, guys, today is the day of salvation. Today is the appointed time. The Lord Jesus Christ died for your sin, was buried, and rose again. And when you acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and you reach out in faith, your faith, resting in the faith of Christ, who paid the price through his death, burial, and resurrection, died for your sins, and you are identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection by faith in Christ Jesus and what he did for you, you'll pass from death to life and you'll receive eternal life as a free gift. Won't you do that today before it's everlasting too late? Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.